Greetings, Earthlings, and welcome to Live from Zarlof, a weekly improv newscast from the depths of space, hand-delivered to your ugly front door by Shoulder Knife. At this time, we ask that you relax, boot up your improbability drive, and enjoy. Long live Zarlof!
Good evening, subjects of the Empire. You are listening to Live from Zarlof. At your number one resource for breaking news, I'm Herc Dercules.
And I'm Ron Spackman.
And it is our honor to bring you tonight's top stories from across the cosmos.
Well, everyone, it's been an eventful several weeks over
it really
here at the
has.
Studio. It's been a wild bunch, and I just wanted to clarify something that I know I received messages about, and I'm grateful you're all concerned about me. I don't know if you received messages, Herc, or...
I received no such messages. What are you talking about?
Well, I had a lot of concerns, specifically about a certain bomb under your chair last week.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, we've sorted it out to let the cat out of the bag. After some digging, we learned that our studio had been rented out to the Zarlof Bomb Building Union before we recorded last week's episode, and in their excitement over getting to record in such an iconic setting, it would seem they forgot to take all of their explosives with them. Hence, Herc's frightening discovery under his chair. They assured us it was entirely accidental, and that if it had detonated, the bomb would have only hurt all of us.
Well, yeah, they really just left it running and everything.
Ticking the whole nine yards.
So were they were building the bombs in the convention and arming them?
I imagined it was for some kind of tutorial.
So you're saying that the teacher built the bombs, was showing them, and then armed it, and left it under my chair.
Here's the thing. It's a union.
It is a union.
I don't know if you've dealt with these union guys.
I've dealt with a union a time or two.
Right.
I was once part of a union.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which one?
It was the Coffee Boys of Zarlof 1 Union.
Yeah, I forgot they were unionized. Boys downstairs, yes.
I had a cot downstairs and everything. They fought for my rights.
Hold on. They gave you a cot. You slept on site.
I had a union cot. An equity cot, if you will.
An equity cot in this building. This may be a probing question. How often did you get outside for non... Do you know what I'm saying?
Non-union business.
Well, I was going to say non-life from Zarlof.
Oh, non-Zarlof business. No, that makes sense.
I guess I could have just said that instead of insinuating and making a face at you.
Yes, because I got it wrong. You know, I didn't get to leave a whole lot. Like, I was working several hours because I had to make ends meet, and I had to get into the minds of all the producers that walked by. If you remember, I committed mental murder to get the position that I have right now.
I did have a follow-up question about mental murder.
Yeah, hit me.
Specifically what it is.
So basically, let's say there were producers walking by, and I was giving them coffee. I'd say, good morning, producer. And then at a frequency that only I could hear, that other Glorbanians could hear, I would say something along the lines of, you're going to give Herc Dercules that seat, you're going to give him the job. And I would literally say things like that at a tiny decibel level. And I would say things of that nature, like I would fit 5,000 words into about 30 seconds, and it would just like get into their minds. Does that make sense? I was in the brain.
I think it does make sense, but more in a assisted suicide rather than murder.
Well, I didn't assist any of them.
Sounds like you kind of did, Herc.
They're all still alive. The only problematic thing that came out of it is that the decibels that I was using, I wasn't aware that some of their species, it did kind of tamper with their brainwaves a little bit, and a couple of them are in forever homes now because they can't think so good anymore. I broke them.
Forever homes is, of course, reference to the famous detective who is the size of a building.
Yes, I love Forever Home. If you haven't seen that on Earth,
you'd love
Forever Home.
It's a whole observation-based detective thing. He basically can see, who looks tastiest, and then he brings them inside, and they stay there.
They never leave.
They stay there. It is ironic. I don't know if the name Forever came first, or if he was just Forever Holmes, and he's like, I'm going to live up to the moniker. Who knows? Great detective.
Yeah, what came first? The Blicken or the Chegg? Anyway, to answer your question originally, yes. I did not get out very much because of the mental sabotage and everything, but I would go out at night to do my vigilantism, of course, as the fat man. So, you know, I had nights, but I was working then, too.
Right. To circle back on that...
Yeah?
I know this may feel like interrogation, Herkin. And
I've had a lot of that the last couple weeks. I'm used to it.
You've been going through a lot. So as I ask these questions, I want you to know that I'm aware that I'm interrogating you, and it's on purpose. Does that make sense?
That makes it okay.
That makes it perfectly. Because you told me. Because I let you know.
Okay.
Were you the fat man?
I thought we established pretty strongly that I am, in fact, the fat man, despite me trying to deceive you at one point.
Well, that was the thing. You got very defensive. You flipped out. You said it was you. You said it wasn't. And then once we finished the episode, well, you ran off so quickly.
I had a mission.
What was the mission?
You want to know about my mission? So here was my mission. There was this little guy named Slick Tim Feelers, and he was on a planet made of lava, and he was threatening to dump a bucket of ice into the lava, which would have created a small pocket of air, don't check my science, that would have thrown off the entire equilibrium of the planet. I went there, and I beat little Tim Feelers within an inch of his life, and I told him, don't do that anymore. Then I came back. It's my first mission in a long time. I felt pretty good. Tim does not feel so good. He's in intensive care, I think.
Fascinating.
Does that answer your question?
It does. I also have a fun fact I brought from the outside.
What is it?
This is a news show.
Oh, I've got some news?
I too have news. In fact, the teleprompter, which is... You know, I've never looked into that either. I have more questions. I've been asking more questions of the world lately.
Like, who runs the teleprompter?
Who runs the teleprompter? It's not Tomlin.
No, he just kind of, like, eats chips over there and says, hey, Tomlin.
Hey, buddy.
Tomlin.
Oh, boy, the dad's back. Thank you. All that to say, maybe it's the therapy, maybe it's some life changes. I've been getting out more.
You're a flirtatious therapist. Yes.
I've been doing stuff. I've been trying to ask more questions as of late, like, who writes these? What's going on? How'd you get in here?
I've been asking. Breaking news! In politics, Senator Tutt announced in a hearing today that she will no longer tolerate the aggressive motions put forward by the Gumbo Party. When asked for a statement on the proceedings, a fired-up Senator Tutt had this to say. Let's roll that clip.
Hello, civilians. Thank you for joining I, Senator Tutt, in the Teutonian Auditorium tonight to go over a very pressing matter. As you all know, we have been the recipients of very hateful and rude language and phrases and words coming from Gomper Gumbo and the Gumbo Party. Now I, your noble leader, stayed up all last night preparing this statement in a fit of rage and passion directed as a rebuttal to Gomper Gumbo. As I watch the auburn hair cascade down his supple yet broad shoulders, I think I turned to the wrong page. Okay, here it is. As I felt Gomper's hands grip my hips and pull me forward. Everyone, I think I accidentally brought the printed out fan fiction of Gomper Gumbo that I found on Teutonian Tumblr last night. If you'll allow me to go back to my hotel room, I can get the right statement. I don't have it memorized. I wrote it last night. But I do recommend this fan fiction. It's good. It's good.
Bold words from Senator Tutt.
I don't know if this is newsworthy or not, but I can vouch for the statement said, it's the best fanfic I've ever read.
Honestly, it's the best I've read, too.
I was salivating by the end.
Yeah, it had me worked up.
What does that look like for a Glorbanian?
Sweating in a way that a human mind could not possibly comprehend.
Nor should it try.
I've got places humans don't know about.
Let's keep it that way, Herc.
Send me an email if I'm kidding. You don't need to hear about my places.
In the vein of my places, though, I will say I was not a reader of erotic texts. It was not my thing. I'm from a tube. I mean, for heaven's sake, I'm from a tube. We're not supposed to get into that stuff. And yet, well, when something is that well-crafted, it gets you out of nowhere.
There is actually some very well-written fan fiction set in Gomodian tubes. Have you read the one, what's it called?
In Gomodian tubes?
Yeah, it's called like Soup of Lust or something like that. And it's about this Gomodian, and he is in his tube and he's stewing. I think they had like asparagus in there with him. I don't know what job that correlates to.
Sex work.
So the asparagus is in there, and basically he just like taps on the glass a bunch and he wants to be let out, and the asparagus starts talking to him and he's like kind of crazy and it's like, hey, you should put us places. And then he does, and that's pretty much it. But man, that is hot, hot, hot.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll be completely honest, and this is as a Gomodian, and I'm not trying to kink shame you. If you enjoyed the read, that's what counts.
I loved it.
Well, I'm glad you did. I'm glad it got you sweaty in places people shouldn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
This said, I'm trying to think of what the equivalent would necessarily be for you, but for me, that was basically the womb I was crafted in. So, in your context, it would be like someone joining you in your mother's womb to seduce you, and then succeeding in seducing you. Do you understand what I'm saying?
To be fair, no one joins him in the tube. I think it's more like if I was me being expelled from my father's mouth, as right. Glorbanians are, it would be more like I'm stuck in my father's throat, and then like something he ate. We should really talk about something.
Breaking news! The performing magician Bimray the Fantastic finds himself in hot water as of late. Bimray, known for his 16-hour underwater breath hold record, is the center of controversy after it was discovered that his mother was a carp. Bimray, when pressed with questions, had this to say.
You leave my mother out of this. You hear me? You leave my mother out of this. What do you got against her, huh? What do you got against her? She's a nice lady, okay? So you leave her alone. So what? So what? So what if she's a fish, okay? She's a carp, okay? I admit it. Fine. Fine. But hey, just because I'm the son of a fish doesn't mean that I got special abilities or anything, okay? Talent is what I got. You hear me? Talent. 16 hours. 16 hours underwater holding my breath. Can you do that? I don't think so. You probably barely make 6 seconds. And I tell you what, the next person that comes to my mother is going to spend a lot longer than 16 hours underwater, let me tell you. You're all alike. All you reporters, you journalists, you priors, okay? You're coming at me. You're coming for my name, Bimray the Fantastic. You want to take that fantastic from me? Well, you ain't gonna, okay? It's folks like you that make men like me want to quit show business, but it ain't gonna happen. It ain't gonna happen. Bimray the Fantastic is here to stay. And you know what? I'll go for 17 hours next. 17 hours. Then what are you gonna say, huh? Huh? Yeah, that's what I thought. Now you crawl back into what little hole you came out of, and you leave my mother alone.
So apparently, talent is another word for being able to breathe oxygen in water. Interesting, Bimray. Interesting take.
It's definitely a take. I feel like maybe we should put together the pieces. Bimray, humans, you probably haven't ever seen a picture of Bimray the Fantastic. There's clues. There's signs. He has gills.
The gills, honestly, it's one of those you look back and you're like, how'd I miss it?
I should have, you know, things should probably be put together a little bit sooner. Like, the fact that it's taken this long for the media to really jump on this guy, like, you know, there's signs.
There were signs all along the way.
We missed the... Be smart. Be better.
That said, some of the other clues were, you know, if he was in direct sunlight for too long, he'd start kind of flapping about. That could have... But I thought it was drugs. I thought it was a drug thing.
Could be drugs. His house is underwater. I thought that was drugs.
I thought it was commitment. Yeah. I thought it was like, wow, he's training for the next breath hold record. That's how good he is.
Yes, he's so good. He's training day and night to live in the place that might just be his habitat.
Yeah.
This is comfortable.
And it's Bimray. So I don't know if there's an equivalent on Earth for our new audience and such, but he's known for doing these very novel, out-of-the-box things to try and push the gambit further. So, for instance, I mean, my personal favorite was when he ate fish food.
That was such a shock when that came out.
Out of nowhere.
He's on the HoloNet. He's on Facebook. And everybody seeing this video is just like, oh, wow.
Wow.
Why is he doing that?
He's eating so much fish food.
He's, you know who he's like on Earth? There, I've heard tell of a man named David Blaine, who froze himself in a block of ice and then stopped being able to make expressions with his face. That's what I think is, you know, if you looked at Bimray, again, if we had a picture and if this was the kind of show where you could actually see things, Bimray, not so much with the expressions, not so much with the looking around.
Not really his thing.
His eyes are pretty shed on the side of his head, too. You know, he is just mostly carp when you look at him.
You know, again, hindsight, 50, 40, 68.
68 for me. 60/8, not just 68.
/8?
Yeah.
Wild prescription.
Yeah.
That's a...
I can see colors that no one else can see.
That's insane. 1-800-CONTACTS? They can't have my brand.
If you want to sponsor Live from Zarloff, you hit us up, 1-800-CONTACTS.
This also, and then I'll leave it be. Because I'm not here to take a dump on Bimray. I mean,
that's all we've done so far, but...
It's pretty much all...
But it's not why we're here.
It's not why we're here, but hey, while we're here... So, Earthlings, this David Blaine, we've obviously gone through something with Bimray here. I want you to look at David Blaine, maybe pull up a picture of him, and...
Yeah, pull up a picture of David Blaine.
Ask yourself, does this person have any... penguin-like qualities. Any telltale signs? Maybe some polar bear behavior. Maybe
yes.
Maybe our Bimray is your David Blaine. Maybe you're just a couple days away from realizing, wow, he was a con artist.
And
not
a penguin.
An artist.
Yeah, he was half penguin the whole time. Because, yeah, that's where we're at with Bimray.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's some breaking news. In a bit of Earth news, as we are on the subject... Oh, we've talked about him before. Celebrity Timothée Chalamet has decided to use his platform to protest the Zarloffian-appointed governor of Earth, Bart Star-Tart.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Hey, no.
Oh, there's more.
No.
There's more. Okay. Yeah, it's bad, but there's more.
All right.
In an act of open defiance, Chalamet climbed a small structure known to locals as the Burj Khalifa and promptly turned himself inside out. He is now in intensive care. Our thoughts and prayers go out to that little twink, Timothée Chalamet. I didn't even know that humans could do that.
To quote the greats, twinkle, twinkle, little star, inside out, skin stretch so far.
That's a children's nursery rhyme here on Zarloff One.
Yes, and it's oddly apropos.
Yeah.
I'll be completely honest, I'm conflicted.
Why are you conflicted, Ron?
Well, I'm eternally loyal to Timothée Chalamet. And
your attraction?
Of course.
Yeah.
As is natural, I feel like anyone would. I haven't seen him inside out. Maybe.
Maybe you like it more.
Maybe even better now.
Hmm.
I'm gonna withhold judgment first.
I think it's that Bob Dylan movie broke his brain. That's what I think. It's like me whispering those low decibel... like sleeper words. So that's what the Bob Dylan movie did to him. It broke his brain, and now he's turning himself inside out on the Burj Khalifa.
Bob Dylan?
Yeah.
Herc, that's two first names. That's not a human name.
I could have sworn it was a movie. It was like The Greatest Known. I think it's called The Greatest Known. And there's a guy with two first names. It's ridiculous.
It's obscene. It'd
Absolutely.
Be like you being named Herc Ron. Think
Can
about
you imagine
it.
If I was named Herc Ron? Send us an email if you think that I should be named Herc Ron. Anyway.
If I may ask, I didn't get to see the film. I haven't been back to Earth since the whole Okefenokee Swamp debacle. But,
yeah, that was bad.
What happened in this two first names greatest known film? Maybe it'll clue us into how Timothy's feeling.
From what I understand...
Mm-hmm.
Bob Dylan, the two first names, he goes to this desert planet and he meets this girl with really blue eyes and they're like pulling spice, which is like a drug but also space fuel, and they're like pulling it out of the desert. and then they're like snorting it, and it makes him like be really like strong of mind, and he drinks this like worm juice. And then well, not the second one, but in the first one, there is this guy who's also in the Minecraft movie, and he sponsor us Minecraft movie. And that guy's name, like Duncan Idaho, which is a perfectly rational name. And that's basically what happens in the Bob Dylan movie. It's all about all that.
Fascinating. So basically, it's a softball of the Iraq War if instead of oil, it was replaced with cocaine.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. You want to watch it now, don't you?
I know what I'm doing right after this.
Gonna watch The Greatest Known, starring Timothée Chalamet as Bob Dylan.
Perfect. Breaking news! A controversy at Predarious Nine's Fashion Week. During the most anticipated runway event of the year, iconic fashion model Publin Scamp mistook fellow model Kablin Kay for a scarf due to Kay's scarf-like appearance. Scamp wore his fellow model for the entire feature and reportedly didn't hear Kay's many protests, despite audience members claiming that the exclamations from Kay were incredibly audible. Hearts go out to Kablin.
Wow. That's a lot to take in. What is this? The scarf guy again? I don't follow fashion so much.
Kablin.
Kablin is the scarf guy, and the other one is...
Well, guy. Kablin maybe one of the most beautiful female models.
Oh,
and she's Gomodian. She was made for it in a tube. We didn't date her. We didn't go on a date. Why are you saying that? Why are you smiling?
I didn't say anything. You sound like you want to tell us about this.
I don't think so.
Tell the cosmos.
No.
If you went out with a supermodel, us.
That sounds like it'd be crazy. Tomlin. Tomlin, do you...
Tomlin, come here.
He's smiling. He's smiling like he wants to know. Don't make me talk about it. Excellent, Dad. That one was crisp.
Thanks, Tomlin.
No one make me talk about going on a date with a supermodel.
This studio
is dead silent.
You know, you clearly want to talk about this. Now is your moment. Tell us a story of this entanglement, as it were, because there's clearly something here.
There might have been a little something. We might have.
Yeah, we got that.
Yes. I went to Smackery's.
Smackery's.
For those who don't know, it's a fine restaurant here on Zarloff, Palatine City. One of the best institutions.
It's like Chili's on Earth.
Almost to Chili's level.
Almost. Not quite.
Almost. We don't have the dipping flights. Needless to say, I was there looking very handsome, sitting alone after a delightful recording of Live from Zarloff, and she was there with another Gomodian. And how do I put this in the most discreet way? This man she was with, this Gomodian hunk, looked identical to me. And he went to the bathroom, and I followed him in, and I struck him unconscious, and I came back and completed the date and had to ask a lot of context clues about what I had said before.
And she did not... put together that it was a different person?
She figured it out eventually.
When you say eventually, let's give it some context. Are we talking 30 seconds or are we talking 2 hours?
No, we made it a good 15 minutes. We got out the door. We had dessert. Oh. It was delicious. Molten lava cake. Real lava.
Yeah, that's the best kind.
Excellent stuff. We get out the door. They ask who to get the starship keys for. There's
right,
a valet. It's a nice place. And I say... don't you know who I am? And they said, no. And I said, well, I'm Ron Spackman. And she left. And she walked away.
Yeah, the name thing could have probably given it away.
There was a certain clue I might have dropped that
Another layer being that there is another Gomodian that looks exactly like you. And also, did you ever, like, go check on him? Or are you sure it's just unconscious? Because, you know, I committed mental murder... what if you accidentally committed real murder?
No. I'm nothing like you, Mark, in any way. I'm completely above you in every sense. I don't know.
That just feels good to hear.
I'm glad.
That just makes me warm inside. Tell me more about how much better than me you are, Ron. I want to hear it.
I'll articulate it through how I chased down a series of unfortunate events. As it were, obviously, this date falls
apart.
That's
a good idea for a series.
Dig into it.
Yeah, continue.
Think about it. I return to the bathroom afterwards, and I find this person who looks so much like me, and I say, well, hello. I am so sorry for having struck you in your nog, you okie dokie. And he pulls his cranium out of the toilet, which is where I left him. I left him in the potty, because he couldn't scream when the lid is on his head. Very heavy lids. I get him out of there, and he's like, what happened? And I was like, well, buddy, you slipped. You stumbled so bad. May I ask why you look like me? And he said, well, I presume you're part of the new hive mind. And I asked the hive mind, and, that's when I tapped into a little something new. Here's the deal. In light of recent events, there's a little bit of a fan club going around for Sweet Ron. I don't blame them, but one of the local hive minds, one of the more cantankerous ones, that has the ability to change appearances.
Oh, not the Greg, is it? It's not the Greg.
Better not be the Greg. I didn't get the name, but someone's recruiting Gomodians, all manner of species, and basically adapting them to look like Ron Spackmans, and I don't blame them. I get why. Frankly, I have no shouts. I have no complaints.
And the real Ron Smack... Wait a minute. How do I know you're the real Ron Spackman?
Well, I...
How do you know you're the real Ron Spackman?
Well, are you got any more of those news stories you'd like to talk about?
Here's the next story. We found that guy that Ron knocked out.
Oh, no!
I'm just kidding, we don't actually have him, but wouldn't that be funny if just this, like, wait a minute, how do I know that this isn't the guy who got knocked unconscious in the bathroom?
I completely understand your worry, so ask me something that only the real Ron Spackman would know. This was before the episode aired. If there's something from last week that only I could possibly know, hit me with a question.
Ron... As of, I think it was last week.
Yes.
What stage of grief were you in?
Well,
while recording?
Yes, I transitioned from the 5th to 6th.
Which are?
Well, that's an excellent question.
I knew it. Listeners,
I might be in terrible danger. Oh, you want me to go back into my grief? I just got through this. I was just operating fine. I was back in professionalism. And you want me to go back to my grief? That's sadistic. I'll say I was in crazy mode.
You were in crazy mode.
That's where I was.
So you're saying you came out of it. So very recently you went from spit up back to professional mode.
Yes, which I would consider out of grief. And well, this line of questioning has me moving very quickly back to spit up stage of grief.
Audience, I want it to be known that Ron is now standing over me and angrily, evilly looking down on me.
Well, it's just because you're so small and I like standing over you.
I am very small. It doesn't really take a lot for him to stand over me.
You're very little.
We're going to cut this one a bit short.
Ask me some more questions.
Tommen, I think I need to go check my... I think I left my oven on. This has been Live from Zharloff with Herc Dercules and the very real...
Ask me more questions. I like answering questions.
Ron is now looking at me cross-eyed, and he's salivating.
Tell me about Timothy again.
Timothy Chalamet turned himself inside out on top of the Burj Khalifa. This has been Live from Zharloff. Good night.
This has been Live from Zharloff, a Shoulder Knife production. Herc Dercules was played by Joey Fajone. Ron Spackman was played by Andrew Fajone. This episode featured special guests Chloe Fisher as Senator Tutt and Josh Bolden as Bim Ray the Fantastic. Art design by Bernadette Schwagel. Audio production by Joey Fajone. Theme music by Andrew Fajone. Want to keep up to date with Shoulder Knife and never miss a new episode? Follow us on social media, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and follow Live from Zharloff on Spotify and wherever you listen to your podcasts. To support Shoulder Knife and have access to future exclusive content, join our Patreon. Thanks for listening and see you next time.
It had, like, asparagus in there with him. I don't know what job that correlates to.
Sex work.
Yep. Anyway, that makes a whole lot of sense, actually.